Chapter 6. The Redeeming Song of Repentance. Many know from experience the pain of being inwardly torn apart, as we described it in the last chapter. On the one hand, there is dialectics, evil, and on the other, the attraction the gnosis exercises upon you because of your participation in the living body of the spiritual school. A solution is therefore urgently necessary, and as quickly as possible too. One might now ask the practical question, is such a solution available? The school's reply is that a solution does exist in the form of the path, in the form of the application of the method you have been taught, and which is now being shown you yet again. Enter into the state of neither loving nor hating what belongs to the nature of death. Begin practicing non-attachment. Take an objective stance with respect to all phenomena. Do your duty in life, do what is correct, but no more than that. The result will be that the astral forces of the nature of death, the astral forces of the ordinary field of life, will slowly but surely cease to be factors in your heart sanctuary. The heart sanctuary has 7 ventricles, 7 chambers, 4 lower ventricles, and 3 higher principles. Indian philosophy speaks of a 4-petaled lotus of the heart and of a 7-petaled lotus, while the inner school of the young gnosis speaks characteristically of the triangle and the square of construction. The 4 lower heart ventricles form the square of constructaion. Above them blaze 3 flames, 3 etheric torches. The 3 higher principles, each of which has a larger or smaller radius of action. They guide, they activate the lower processes which must unfold on the square of construction. Now, if you enter into non-attachment consistently and with perseverance, you will enable 1 or more, if not all 3, higher principles of the heart to influence the 4 lower heart ventricles in a powerful, stimulating way. In this way, you will enter into an entirely different state of life. If you love something belonging to the nature of death, you attract it to you. If you hate it, you repel it. For these 2 processes of attraction and repulsion to come about, you need the astral currents of dialectics. In this way, you keep the fire of death alive in the aura of the heart. All your interests in life on the horizontal level, all your rejecting points of view, help maintain the ordinary nature bomb state of the heart sanctuary. So one can speak of the passions of the heart, storm waves of an astral nature which stir up the heart sanctuary. These astral currents of ordinary life therefore play an important role in your heart and thus in your life. If, during a temple service, the aura of your heart is charged in a different way, and you undergo the effects of this both in your body and in your consciousness, but you afterwards switch coarsely back to ordinary life without any self-control, the new astral fire which has begun to shine will immediately be neutralized again, and the old state will reassert itself to the full. Obviously, the result will be that your entire consciousness, the whole 7-fold candelabrum in the head sanctuary, and the whole of your sensory organism will remain attuned, just like your heart, to the nature of death. It is as if you take prisoner everything that is present in the head. AH, the astral currents from which you live, are transformed into etheric forces. Your sensory organism functions through ethers. Ethers are the fuel of the sensory apparatus. Ethers are extracted from astral substances, and that is why, if the astral substances which govern your life are derived from the nature of death, you will remain the nature-born human being you have been from the beginning. That is why Hermes says in verses 10 and 11, "The eyes are no more capable of beholding the beautiful and the good than they are capable of seeing God. The beautiful and the good are entirely part of God. They belong to Him and Him alone, being inseparable from His essence and expressions of the highest love of God and for God. If you can comprehend God, you will also comprehend the beautiful and the good in their supreme, radiant magnificence, entirely illuminated by God. That beauty is incomparable, that goodness inimitable, as God Himself is inimitable. To the extent that you comprehend God, you will also comprehend the beautiful and the good. They cannot be conveyed to other beings, for they cannot be separated from God. That is why anyone who genuinely seeks for a solution, for liberation, must first enter into a state of non-attachment. Without that, all the work will be in vain. This is quite understandable. You first need to ensure that the fierce raging of the astral fire of the nature of death is brought to a standstill, that it is neutralized as far as possible. As soon as the heart has been freed, you need to make your head sanctuary subordinate to the heart sanctuary in total self-surrender. In this way, the consciousness, which has now become objective, will begin to sing its redeeming song of repentance. If, in humility and surrender, the consciousness turns in upon the heart, as the mystics put it, the result will be an immediate influx into the heart of light forces of the new astral fire. A new heart aura will then be formed, and it will be as if you become younger. You will enter the new youth, the youth of the newborn soul state. The astral fire of the gnosis of the soul world will pervade and fill you entirely. It will surround you like a robe. And the outcome will be that the consciousness, the head sanctuary with all its faculties, will also be touched, filled, and transformed. And the golden wonder flower will be visible in the window of the soul. A far-reaching process of change will begin, and equilibrium will come into your life. Suffering and sorrow and problems will remain, for ordinary nature must take its course, but from that moment on it will be as if your position with regard to all these things has totally changed, so that they no longer have such a hold on you. You will no longer find yourself fighting for breath in a moral or spiritual sense. Harmony will come into your life. In this way, one receives more than sufficient compensation to be able to tolerate all afflictions with a joyful heart. One receives sufficient compensation to remain standing in the nature of death in a state of harmony. Hermes calls this new state a God-serving life of action, guided by the gnosis. That is what it means to be filled with the seven spirit, to be filled with God. It is the highest and most noble happiness one can ever experience. It is participation in the only good as far as is possible for a created being. It means being taken up into the radiations of the seven spirit. You can celebrate this blessedness now, in the present, if you fulfill the consequences of the path. Only then will you have the courage to face life with a cheerful countenance. Only then will you have solved the mystery of the only good for and within yourself.